Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we'd like to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Got a great show, Magical Engineer Frank and I. We're going to be talking about some fake science, some new stuff that's coming to light, and how that impacts us on many levels. Also, we may get to talk about some of the things we didn't finish the other day, including maybe some blood vessel dilators. We got lots to do, and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. And I'm praying for this nation, the leadership of this nation. I'm praying God's hand be on us. And I'm hitting the knees and seeking the Lord's face, and I hope you are too. I did bring the devotional because a lot of you are letting me know you like this segment of the show. Okay, so today it's from 1 Kings 19 and Psalms 5, and it goes like this. Wait quietly in my presence while my thoughts form silently in the depths of your being. Do not try to rush this process because hurry keeps your heart earthbound, and I'm the creator of the entire universe. Yet I choose to make my humble home in your heart. It is there where you know me most intimately. It is there where I speak to you in holy whispers. Ask my spirit to quiet your mind so that you can hear my still voice within you. I'm speaking to you continually, words of life, words of peace, words of love. Tune your heart to receive these messages of abundant blessing. Lay your requests before me and wait in expectation. Amen to that. I hope you're seeking the Lord's face and mind and time. It's growing short because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. First up in the quacker, let's see. British scientists say they have used the genome editing CRISPR tool to knock out genes in embryos for that are just a few days old, and they're testing the technique's ability to decipher gene functions in early human development. According to one of the scientists, Kathy Nyken, she's a stem cell scientist at the British Francis Crick Institute. She says one way to find out what a gene does in the developing of an embryo is to see what happens when it isn't working, you know, when it's not there. So they're cutting and they're probing and they're snipping and they're cutting and they're doing all this stuff. And her results were published in the Journal of Nature, you know, trying to discover how God did it. All right, moving along in the quack report. We're going to get a little bit into this in the first segment of the show, but it's about government agencies that are fabricating a lot of data. David Lewis of Focus for Health Foundation recently published an article where he says he's shedding some lies on some of the fabrications by agencies so they can sell their climate and radical agendas that they may have. He says the public's largely unaware that these agencies engaged in fabricating the data. Then he goes a little bit into detail. So we're going to get into that in a little bit. He says, early this year, former scientist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, by the name of Dr. John Bates, came forward and alleged that his former colleagues manipulated environmental data for political purposes. So we're getting into that. And, of course, some medical stuff in just a little bit. Last but not least in the quack report. Anybody out there getting tattoos? Well, if you do, beware. Scientists warn that those colored dyes used in tattoos will increase your risk of cancer. They said the pigment dyes of tattoos used in, you know, by the parlors contain a chemical known as titanium dioxide. It helps the colors and the hues show up, but it's also associated with cancer. A team from the German Federal Institute of Risk Assessment said that the titanium dioxide travels through your bloodstream and accumulates in your lymph nodes. This can cause them to become swollen and hinders their ability to fight infections and can increase your risk to certain types of cancer. So I'm not into tattoos, but just in case anybody out there is, or if you got, you know, children and grandchildren thinking about it, you might want to pass that along. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay. We're going to be talking about fake science fallout because it's fallen out all over the place. You know, most people are aware of the media outlets kind of controlling information and, you know, that reach you. And, you know, the term fake news has kind of been overused. It's kind of nauseating to hear it now. But when authorities purposely promote lies, it creates a breakdown in trust, causes a lot of anxiety, and can only lead to some undesirable consequences. So we're going to take a look at additional information that has surfaced with regard to informing people, supposedly that rely on it for health and safety. So we're going to talk about it. First, let's talk about some of these fake scientific reports. This recent report from the Daily Caller stated that it has become very common for the government agencies to fabricate a lot of data in the name of science. According to Mark Edwards, he's a professor at Virginia Tech, he states that the EPA, your Environmental Protection Agency, along with the CDC, your Center for Disease Control, are doctoring scientific data to suit their agenda. So honest scientists are appalled at this rampant activity from these agencies, which has given science a bad name. Here's a quote from Mark Edwards, professor at Virginia Tech. He says this: "What lies due downstream are the alarming implication for the future of science and, of course, the reasoning in America." He says the public's largely unaware that federal agencies often engage in fabricating scientific data to support their policies and cover up any evidence whenever they screw up, end of quote. He says this activity is also not limited to the EPA and the CDC, so keep that in mind, he says. So what Professor Edwards is saying is true, and the frightening reality is that medical science is also involved in fraud, and medications are being manufactured and approved based on lies. So Deputy Inspector General Mary Kendra reported scientific misconduct on a broad scale at the U.S. Geological Survey Lab in Colorado. She stated that the data manipulation that's happening there is having far-reaching implications, and it's damaging the trust and integrity of the agency and the field of science. Now, Professor Edwards stated that fake science definitely comes into play when there are deceptive cover-ups. So in 2008, it was discovered in a Georgia courtroom that the EPA and the USDA engaged in fraudulent activity to cover up the deaths of cattle as a direct result of EPA and USDA policies. So the judge in the case wrote in his decision that the EPA's opinions, quote, "The EPA's opinions in this case have been thrown out as the agency's testimony could not be trusted," end of quote. That was Judge Anthony Almino, Southern District of Georgia. So even more offensive is that after these agencies are, you know, caught lying, well, they refuse to remove their bogus reports from the scientific record. They publish the stuff, but they won't publish corrections or engage in a retraction. So that report is fraudulent, but it remains in the scientific literature, where other generations may believe it and base policy on it, and that could, of course, affect millions of people. So how bad is it? Hey, Frank, you want to guess how bad it is? I don't know if Frank's got a moment to respond. He's such a busy guy these days. Well, you know, some people speculate, you know, the corruption within the scientific community is an example. This is an example of an isolated incident. It's not really widespread at all. Well, whistleblowers are coming out, and they're saying the opposite. Here is a quote from David Lewis, research director of Focus Health Foundation. He says, "In my experience, faking scientific data at federal agencies has become more the rule than the exception. The hidden rule is that scientific data published by federal scientists must support federal policies to protect their agency and its reputation above all other concerns. Federal agencies will also defend scientists at universities who fudge data which they agree with," end of quote. So you might be saying, well, is this happening just here in the United States? Well, across the pond in the UK, the British Medical Journal reported that if scientific data was going to be faked, it's going to be most likely happening in the United States. Well, that scathing report appeared also in the Journal of the Medical Ethics, November 2010 issue, and according to the article, the researchers looked at scientific research that had been withdrawn, which required it to be expunged from the record. So they found that between 2000 and 2010, there were 788 studies that had to be removed. Now, keep in mind that this medical research that has already been published in the medical journals, and it was read by licensed medical physicians, maybe physicians who have acted on this information to treat their patients. So these errors were considered serious by the research team. And when they say serious, they mean fraud. Make no mistake, it was deliberate faking of the data. Now, other countries that also had fake scientific medical studies were the UK, India, Japan, South Korea, and China, 40 studies combined. But the U.S. takes the lead with fraudulent studies. It was also cited that fraud was more likely to occur if the study was to be published in a leading publication. So this fact has coined the phrase within the medical research community as impact factor. So if the research ends up in what is considered a peer-reviewed journal, it has a high probability that the data has been faked. They also determined that 1 in 5 studies involving fake research was written by scientists who had a propensity of manipulating data to suit their outcome. So repeat offender is used by the Justice Department, but it's also a fact within science. So clinical studies can have as many as 10 scientists sponsoring the research, the results, but the fake research showed to have about an average of 3 or more. So these repeat offending scientists that kept showing up on the fraudulent research usually had about 6 other scientists sponsoring or co-authoring the reports. Now, the research team said that when you see a pattern of duplication like this, it should be a red flag. And currently, a retraction of the study is the only punishment for fraud within scientific research. And as one researcher put it, and this is by Grant Steen, Journal of the Medical Ethics, he says this, scientific fraud is a very blunt instrument used for offenses which have gravely serious consequences, end of quote. Well, you know, there's flaws in their thinking, to be honest. If you still think that the scientific community is a safe bet for research, well, when it comes to the environment, economics, and health, Mal, you may want to take a look at a few statements from respected government scientists. This is from Rufus Cheney. He's a PhD, works for the USDA. He says, faking the data is permissible as long as the data are in a general agreement with previous patterns established in hundreds of papers. In other words, if the fake data has already been published a few times, it's okay. Well, this is what David Lewis, research director of Focus Health, he says, when I worked for the EPA at the University of Georgia, I conducted studies and my research revealed that there were problems with decades of government-funded research. Decades. Wow. Well, I guess if you tell a lie often enough, it becomes the truth is the point, is what they're making. This same thinking is in the halls of medicine, where you see a lot of clinical studies which have been altered or they use the wrong cell lines in the study, but the work was published anyway, and many times over, and cited by other scientists for decades. So it's okay then. That's what they're saying. So this kind of thinking must be. The accurate research, it's fake, and it's been published, so therefore it's been confirmed, it's got to be true, and so that's the thinking there, which is really crazy. Well, our founding fathers must have dealt with such corruptible people, and that's maybe what inspired Benjamin Franklin to say, half the truth is still a whole lie. Well, every man has his price. And there is a price tag. Corporations pay officials to look the other way and skew the data in such important areas like wastewater pollution, you know, from your water treatment plants or power plants. EMF emissions like dirty electricity, cell phones, smart meters. Think about this stuff. All that research says all that stuff is safe. Do you really believe that? How about education institutions like your public schools, you know, with CORE, you know, where you can't do any math? How about banking and finance, or military and law enforcement, environmental regulations, politicians, and, of course, healthcare and medical research, especially your National Institutes of Health? So, you know, I don't think any agency is safe from corruptible minds. And, you know, a lot of them point the fingers. They do. The National Institute of Health, for instance, blamed the flood of substandard medications for the pandemic treatments that were intended for malaria and tuberculosis and other diseases on everything but the truth. So they stated technology problems, quality control problems by foreign suppliers, but they didn't blame it on the fact that drugs are being produced based on fake research. They didn't go there. So the failure rate for these pandemic-like drugs were reported to have a 41% failure rate, and that was stated in April 2015 in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. So if you're probably wondering, you know, where the FDA oversight is with this, well, the FDA is not involved, has no involvement with research, and they approve medications solely based on the research that's provided to them. So changing protocol for imported foreign-made drugs is really not going to fix this outcome. Instead, we should ask, what do you expect from falsified medical research? Seriously. Well, we have this ingrained corruption problem, and that's what America's facing, widespread corruption in these powerful government agencies. Now, corruption has been a standard policy within federal bureaucracy, so how do you correct that? Well, it's going to take wave after wave of really strong, righteous men in these areas to remove this immoral flaw. So a culture of corruption is a moral problem. And according to the Bible, in modern times, it began with the falling away of the church. So stripping the scientific corrupt agencies of federal funding may have a small impact on data fabrication. You know, scientists will need to find some other resources, but... And they may have more pressure on them to produce more reputable data, but that's just a Band-Aid on this gaping wound. So in the meantime, we all need to verify everything that's recommended to us. Now, let's say you're feeling a little over-medicated. Some people do. And the Journal of Emergency Medicine actually published some findings on a medical survey they did in 2015 involving U.S. physicians. They were asked if they overtreat their patients. The results showed 85% of the doctors will overtreat with medication and tests to avoid lawsuits. And the risk of overtreatment is higher in emergency hospital rooms at 97%. Here's a quote from Hamil Kanhezra, MD, University of California Hospital, ER. He says, so many physicians acknowledge that they ordered tests for no medical reason, which makes it clear physicians feel enormous pressure to behave in a way they might not want to, end of quote. So the top reasons from the survey that why doctors overtreat is they want to avoid a malpractice lawsuit, and also they lack knowledge and judgment. So, you know, there you go. Well, another example, let's say when a certain patient investigated his prescription medications to find that his doctor had him on three different vasodilators, all to dilate blood vessels and all with similar side effects. Well, no one wants to challenge their doctor's decision, but in the age of fake science, I think we'd better get into the habit of asking questions. So senior citizens really should look up all their drugs prescribed to them. And if you don't have a computer or the internet to look this stuff up, go to the public library. They have an internet and a computer connection there. Or you can ask them for a book called The Physician's Desk Reference. It's called PDR, Physician's Desk Reference. Also, bookstores will sell PDRs if you want to take one home and have one in your personal, library. So PDR is going to list all those known side effects of the drug, not just the common ones that usually the pharmacy will spit out. So the next time you feel intimidated by your health professional, I want you to remember these statements from other medical physicians, okay? This is by Dr. Hubert Snow, senior surgeon, Cancer Hospital, London, UK. He says, inoculations or vaccinations are well known to cause grave and permanent diseases of the heart. The coroner will always hush it up and say it was natural causes. Here's a quote from Dr. W.B. Clark, Great Britain, also the author of a book called Drug Story. He says, cancer was practically unknown until cowpox vaccination began to be introduced. I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. And this is from Dr. J.M. Peebles, San Diego, California. He says, the vaccination practice pushed to the front of the medical profession and through political conveyance made compulsory by the government has become the chief menace and greatest danger to health of the rising generation and are an outrage upon personal liberty of every American citizen. And lastly, Dr. Harry Bybee, Norfolk, Virginia, he says, my honest opinion is that vaccination is the cause of more disease and suffering than anything I could name. I believe that such diseases, cancer, and many other diseases are the direct results of vaccination. Yet the state compels parents to submit their children to this procedure while the medical profession receives a payment for this unwanted service, but also makes huge profits from its future patients. So it's a disease generator. It's a moneymaker for the big corporation called your healthcare. Well, but you can prevail. The good news is this. Our Creator knew that we would have diseases not listed in the Bible, and he states that in Deuteronomy 28, verse 61. So do you think that that is why God has made available medicinal herbs to help strengthen and detoxify the body? I think so, because God knew that the nature of man is corruptible and that we would need his protection. So on a metabolic level, you can help the body heal itself if you remove the poisons that are causing the disease. So when you cleanse and nourish the body with organic foods and herbs, you give the body the opportunity to restore itself. You are trusting in God's promises. Herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And that's Genesis chapter 1, 29 and 30, Psalms 104, 14, and Revelations 2, 22. So from Genesis to Revelation, God is really promising his medicinal herbs offer you healing power. And that's not fake. That's real. That's solid truth. So call Apothecary Herbs for their organic whole food, herbal cleanses, immune boosters, nutritional supplements. They'll send you a free product catalog. The number to call, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., call 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Of course, their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I mean, you know, you got the power of God's promise behind you. You got organic, you know, whole food supplements. Nothing's been altered. It's just the way God put it together. Perfect chemistry right there, and powerful nutrition, God said, won't let you down. So if you trust in the herbs, you need organic, you need Apothecary Herbs. So give them a call, 866-229-3663, or jump on their website at thepowerherbs.com and be empowered. Take that power back. You want to be well. Hey, by the way, they're having their fall special. And so you'll save 15% on orders of $45 or more now through Sunday the 24th. So if you want to get on the website, there are, well, details to the offer on the homepage. And, of course, if you don't have Internet, just when you call in, just ask about the discount so you can get it that way. So if you're mailing in an order, get it postmarked by the 24th and write this code 17FALL. And get the 15% off before you add your shipping. And there you go. I can see by the clock. I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Being
proactive about improving your health can seem like a big job. I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I'd like to share my health secrets to better health. The first step is to remove metabolic blockages caused by toxins. Next is to infuse organic whole food nutrients to help repair and replenish organ function. You'll be amazed at how simple and effective this is when using my professional strength, herbal organ cleanses, and body foundation food mix. To order or for a free product catalog, call Apothecary Herbs now, 866-229-3663, online, thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order my organ cleanses and body food mix and be empowered, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Wendy Wilson, and we're going to kind of jump into some vasodilators since, you know, I got a call recently. Somebody's been prescribed 3 different vasodilators, and they didn't even know that. You got to wonder, you know, why 3 of them? Well, let's look at them. Medical science prescribes a lot of vasodilator drugs to heart patients. Now, they're told that they need this chemical type of drug to help widen their blood vessels and increase their blood flow to improve their blood pressure and prevent heart attacks and strokes. So patients with high blood pressure may not know that these medications actually affect also their adrenal glands. Those are those glands that sit on top of your kidneys. So the vasodilators often are prescribed when other heart medications, with other heart medications, and there are lots of types of vasodilators. There's nitroglycerin and minoxidil, which is really Rogaine. Remember that one? Oh, yeah, Rogaine to regrow your hair. It was really designed as a vasodilator called minoxidil. Now, patients may not discern between high blood pressure medicines like calcium channel blockers or diuretics and also their vasodilators. So both work to try to address, you know, the hypertension issue, but they work differently. Also important is that people are trying to reverse, let's say, their hair loss, and they're using products under various names containing the minoxidil. They're absorbing a vasodilator drug through their skin in a transdermal treatment. And, you know, you got to wonder, you know, this hair loss product, you know, is going to have an accumulative effect, and what's it going to do to a healthy heart? So there have also been no scientific studies on these topical use of products like minoxidil used for hair loss and how it affects the adrenal health. So we're going to take a look at some of these very powerful and risky medications. Here's a quote from Dr. William Pettinger. He's at the Journal of Hypertension. He said back in 1988, of the many vasodilator drugs, minoxidil is a much more potent vasodilator. It can cause hearing loss, renal retention of sodium, or in other words, edema, and then you need to be on a diuretic, and also weight gain. It can also cause cardiac enlargement. So these people that are on, you know, Rogaine and other products of different names, but it's still the minoxidil product, they're going to be down the road, I think, having cardio problems. Well, let's look at the vasomotor center, because there is a part in the human body that medicine refers to as a vasomotor center. So the adrenal glands are affected by vasodilators and affect hormones and central nervous system function, which would explain many of the side effects that people get from the drugs. So according to Dr. William Pettinger, the vasodilator drugs work differently than other blood pressure medicines and increase the risk of acute pulmonary edema, that means fluid around the heart and your lungs, also tachycardia arrhythmias, abnormal heart rhythms, and myocardial infarction, which means, you know, heart attack and death. So Dr. Pittenger urges caution when using vasodilators. The side effects. Well, some people have a natural allergy to some of these drugs, and they can't use them. And people who have allergies to foods, dyes, preservatives, and other substances may be prohibited from using vasodilators. So if you're taking them, patients often actually can experience a secondary disease, and we call it a side effect. So also pregnant women usually run into problems on vasodilators causing blood abnormalities as well as uncontrollable hair growth. So in lab animals, vasodilators cause a lot of birth defects. So there have also been no scientific studies regarding pregnancy or breastfeeding with women on vasodilators, so they have no idea what those drugs will do. So the average patient that takes vasodilators are going to have some of these conditions, these side effects: headache, nausea and bloating, maybe even vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite, dizziness, angina, chest pain or irregular heartbeat, muscle and joint pain, muscle weakness, numbness, tingling of extremities, swollen extremities, fever, sore throat, general sick feeling, skin blisters, itching and flushed skin, increased risk of kidney disease, stroke and heart attack and heart damage, adrenal tumors, and also the drug does not interact well with other drugs and a lot of over-the-counter medicines, and also you can have systemic lupus, which is rare, but you can still get it. Well, you want to use extreme caution when you use vasodilators. You don't want to mix them. They don't mix well with other medications patients may be on. You got to exercise caution taking any additional meds. For instance, if you're taking over-the-counter drugs, let's say for appetite control, or maybe something for the cold or flu, even asthma medicines, or any product that would, you know, tamp down an allergy response, antihistamines, for instance, they don't mix well with vasodilator drugs. So for these products are going to increase or even decrease your blood pressure, okay? And it's really not hard to see why a lot of people do end up in the emergency room or even the morgue when they're prescribed medicines like vasodilators. Here's a quote, again, from Dr. William Pettinger, Journal of Hypertension. He says this: vasodilating antihypertension drugs produce an array of side effects, allergic reactions, and toxicity in varying degrees. They have the potential of creating congestive heart failure, among other serious conditions. Detailed knowledge of these drugs is a prerequisite in order to prescribe and for patient use. So he's saying, you know, your doctor better be on his toes if he's put you on this stuff. Well, let's look at the hair loss drug for a minute, you know, the Rogaine, because I came across this blog where people were kind of writing in about their experiences where they were on the minoxidil Rogaine product for hair loss. Now, remember, this was originally a vasodilator drug that the drug companies were making, but it was a lousy vasodilator drug. But they happened to notice that their test group, their hair improved while they were on the drug. So then they just switched it around, renamed minoxidil Rogaine, and sold it as a hair loss treatment. All right, but they didn't know what this drug would do with people that didn't have heart problems. So there you go. It's crazy. So there are a few young people who said that they used the Rogaine product and for their hair loss, but it created a lot of heart problems for them. Here is a quote from one gentleman by the name of Robert Roby. He says, "When I was 18, I became kind of paranoid about hair loss, and so I started using Rogaine. Now I'm 25, and I have very bad blood pressure problems. I find it kind of strange that I use Rogaine, which is now a powerful antihypertensive vasodilator drug, didn't know that, and I used it for 4 years, and now I have very bad blood pressure and heart problems." Aha. Well, that's what Dr. Pittenger said would happen, right? All right, so the Mayo Clinic also posts on their websites to use extreme caution when you use topical Rogaine minoxidil products, and if you have any skin problems or irritation like sunburn, they recommend you don't use the product. So they also warn that the minoxidil is absorbed into the body, offers a lot of side effects. They recommend that people with heart disease not use the product, yet it's prescribed for people with, they prescribe it for heart patients as a vasodilator. Who can figure that out? The Mayo Clinic also states there have been no official scientific studies of the topical use of minoxidil, such as Rogaine, and it could cause serious high blood pressure problems, so they just don't know. Yet they caution consumers, you know, don't use it in large quantities because of the likelihood it could accumulate, the toxins could be absorbed into your bloodstream, blah, blah, blah. Now, there also is at askapatient.com, it also listed a ton of people there who described their experience using topical minoxidil or Rogaine. The formulation for men is a bit stronger. It's 5% for men with hair loss, 2% for women. Men said they experienced a lot of sex drive loss, erectile dysfunction. You got to remember, this stuff messes with your adrenal glands and your hormones. The list of those who experience cardio difficulties also were listed, varying in ages from 20 to 60. People described having dizziness, heart palpitations, high blood pressure, swelling, fluid retention, feeling of anxiety, cardiac arrhythmia, chest pains, and also concentration problems. So I guess this answers the question, would Rogaine, which was originally a vasodilator drug, create heart problems for people using it as a hair replacement topical medication? And there you go. Here is one female, age 50, who said, "No question, it was Rogaine that caused my heart symptoms and blood pressure problems. I applied it for hair loss, but I won't sacrifice my health." So she stopped using it. Now, Upjohn Dermatology Division had an article in Field and Stream back in 1995. It was the Midwest edition. back in August of 95, they discussed the pros and cons of using 2% Rogaine. Apparently, there were people asking if the product for hair loss would cause any harm, especially to the cardio system. Here is one entry from the article. Upjohn Dermatology states, in animal studies, minoxidil, Rogaine, in large amounts applied as topical application on skin, has caused important heart structure damage. This kind of damage has not been seen in humans. So this was in, I guess, animal studies. And you may not know why science uses lab mice to test their drugs. It's because their cell structure is so similar to humans. So if mice using minoxidil topically had birth defects and heart damage, you can bet long-term use of the drug in a topical form with people with healthy hearts, it's going to have impact because it's going to have a cumulative toxicity, and it will hurt. All right, let's look at some heart herbs instead, shall we? Because I've known for a long time that herbs have strengthening power in the body. Action that causes strengthening is going to produce repair and regeneration. So herbs tend to heal or restore body function. And those, you know, the word heal is a four-letter word to the medical industry. They don't want to hear that. And this is why there's a lot of controversy over, you know, using natural therapies to get better. So you want to check your lifestyle, make sure you're not doing anything that would undermine your natural therapy routine. But if you're looking for an herbal, or I guess, equivalent to a vasodilator, I like to use cayenne with ginger and hawthorn berries. Hawthorn berries will act as a vasodilator, but they also, you know, make sure you don't have red blood cells that clump together to make clots. So it helps protect that fibrinogen protein in your blood so you don't get clotting. So these herbs don't damage the heart. They actually strengthen the heart, especially if it has a lack of oxygen and blood flow. It actually prevents damage to the heart longer. So a lot of, you know, flavonoids in the herbs help protect the heart muscle. So if you're looking for, you know, some cardiovascular herbal formulas, you want to give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. They do have several things there. They even have a heart attack pack that is handy when seconds count. You may want to look at that. So give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And I know a lot of people talk about the arrhythmia, angina stuff. You want to look at motherwort. Motherwort's a very good herb with the fluttering, AFib, chest pain thing. Motherwort is an excellent herb to look at. So it's also there at thepowerherbs.com, the Apothecary Herbs website. So check that out when you get time at thepowerherbs.com or give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. All right. We have a few minutes, so we're going to be talking about TB, tuberculosis, what the CDC calls, you know, a pandemic kind of disease. It was also referred as the White Death. And it's and it gets its name. The ancients gave that the name because of the pathogen of tuberculosis. People don't really seem to bat an eye at the mention of TB because, you know, they say the disease has been eradicated. But they still have this pathogen in labs, you know, for, I guess, biological weaponry. So it was really not long ago that Vivian Leigh, the actress on Gone with the Wind, she died of tuberculosis in 1967. And we can't forget the Wisconsin town of Sheboygan. 15,000 residents struggled to control their tuberculosis outbreak in 2013. And Virginia had three tuberculosis cases and a couple of years back. And so did South Carolina, had some in 1994. So tuberculosis has been a bacterium, and it can spread by breathing in infected droplets from an infected person who maybe coughs, sneezes, and spreads the disease through that direct type of contact. So Americans are familiar with the TB skin test. They don't give it anymore, but you know what you're talking about. If you're old enough, you know you got it, and you kind of put it on your arm, and you had that really weird scar. So health authorities tell Americans now that it's very low risk of getting TB, and basically they're not even, you know, testing for it much anymore. But there's really no guarantee, especially since there have been some changes happening in the United States with immigration, and a lot of these people are bringing in the disease with them. So a lot of people should be concerned. We had it in the past in the United States, and it could resurge again. So let's look at it. TB vaccine called Bacillkalmente-Guerin. It's routinely given to military or people that have special circumstances, traveling abroad. It's also used in other countries that have a high risk of tuberculosis. But there's really no guarantee that you won't get TB if you're inoculated with it. Now, according to the CDC, in the U.S., there were, on average, about 3 people for every 100,000 who had tuberculosis back in 2013. So these percentages are affected a lot by what's going on, people coming and going across our borders. So since the Obama administration opened the borders, according to the CDC in the United States, the tuberculosis resurgent was 13 times greater than before Obama took office. So the illegal alien issue actually has spread the risk of more infectious diseases in the United States. Now, the CDC did report that the rate of infectious TB among immigrants was about 65% in 2013, and the U.S. States that they have had the highest tuberculosis rate with about 500 cases for each state, including California, Texas, New York, and Florida. And these are all access points for immigrants that enter the United States. So these are the 4 states that have the most TB cases, and they account for a third of the U.S. population, about 51 or 52% of the immigrations entered there. Now, the CDC is looking at ways to control the tuberculosis rise before it becomes a pandemic or epidemic situation. So as a comparison, Wyoming has no tuberculosis cases, and in Alaska, for every 100,000, there were about 10 people with tuberculosis. The District of Columbia has the highest rate of the national average for TB. So each infected person has the capacity of infecting 250 more people. And according to the CDC's report, the Council for State of Territorial Epidemiologist Surveillance, the Asian and Hispanic immigrants have a 25 times higher incidence of bringing in tuberculosis than any other ethnic group, and more men than women tend to have the disease. All right, here's a quote from Steve Steinhardt. He is in Wisconsin at the emergency. He's an emergency coordinator there. He says, tuberculosis is a disease most Americans may view as a relic of the 19th century. It is still an insidious threat and can pop up anywhere, end of quote. And Gene Byman, RN, in Wisconsin, says it's not unusual for doctors to miss tuberculosis because the disease is so uncommon now. Uh-oh. Well, what are the symptoms? They can vary, especially if you have what is called latent tuberculosis, which is not very contagious. So with an uncontagious form of tuberculosis, a person may not even know they have it. Symptoms of a contagious variety of tuberculosis can indicate, it involves the lungs, most common organ that's affected from tuberculosis. So over a period of weeks or months, the lungs kind of develop some symptoms that may be mild, like a cough, a little sputum. Then it could become thick, cloudy, and even bloody. Other symptoms develop, like fever, chills, night sweats, fatigue, weakness, loss of appetite, a lot of weight loss, and soon shortness of breath follows, and a lot of chest pain. So if tuberculosis infects other tissues, like instead of the lungs, it's called extrapulmonary tuberculosis, and you could have back pain near the spine, neck pain, and even swollen lymph nodes. So if someone is suspected of having TB, they usually do a blood or sputum test, and they do a chest x-ray to confirm. If it is confirmed, the patient is quarantined. They often give drugs, but they're very dangerous, to be honest. They can affect the liver. But the drug can also, that can give you hepatitis, drug-induced hepatitis. Side effects of the drugs are peripheral neuropathy. You get vitamin B6 deficiency, a lot of side effects from that. Sometimes doctors will try to treat with a multi-drug therapy for about 24 hours to see if it can't knock it out. But the treatment is $300,000 for a patient that has tuberculosis. Unreal. So TB treatments are expensive. They are very toxic. They have limited effectiveness, and surgery may be needed to remove diseased lung. I know I'm running out of time really quick here. Here's a quote from Dr. Mike Ryan. He's WHO Director of Epidemic and Pandemic Response. He says, if you look at the acute rate threats that can wipe out millions of people in a matter of weeks, we're still at risk. So he's talking about things like tuberculosis and, you know, other diseases they're monitoring, high-risk diseases. Well, you know, are there any herbs that can help you out? Well, there are a lot of pathogens that could bring a plague upon us at any time, but your immune system, if you can actually boost it and protect yourself with a lot of herbs that have inhibitors to a lot of these pathogens. Like thyme tincture has a tuberculosis inhibitor and helps control coughing. So healthy immune system is going to be important, so you want to use immune-boosting herbs like echinacea, astragalus root, garlic, Siberian ginseng. You want to combine these for effect, a lot of strength that way. And you also want to keep your organs, your filtering organs, clean so that your immune system can work, because those filtering organs are going to take off debris when the immune system kills the pathogens. So you've got to have clean organs and a strong immune system. And that's the way God designed us, to defend ourselves from disease. And if you don't have that, now's the time to do something about it. Organ cleansing is not difficult, and it's not real expensive. And there's a way to go about it properly. So if you're interested in learning how, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog. The number to call, 866-229-3663. By the way, they do have pandemic kits there. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, because it puts the power back in your hands, and it's God's protective herbs that he's promised will work. So do yourself a favor and get a backup supply, because you never know. You just never know. ThePowerHerbs.com. Oh, if you have email, sign up for the free online newsletters that they have there at ThePowerHerbs.com and empower yourself each week with health information that you won't get anywhere else. Give them a call. But you have to have email to have that. So if you want to call and give your email, you can definitely sign up that way. Or you can go through the website and click on books and newsletters and sign up for free. There's no subscription fee. So empowering info that costs nothing. That's a deal. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. I'm almost out of time. Well, I am out of time. Look at that. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.